lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republica podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, very special ep of the Motorsport Republica podcast. What a weekend it's been, Jimmy boy.
Sunday arvo, man. We never normally do this.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a weekend. We've met some bloody amazing people,
yes,
haven't we?
Have.
And it's just been an incredible few days for us. Some great content coming out shortly. We'll touch on that. Yeah, I mean, some amazing Aussie results as well. I mean, that's the other thing, isn't it?
Bro, amazing results. I've met some amazing people. It's had some big nights. It's been, amazing. How many times can I say the word amazing? But it's been an incredible MotoGP weekend so far.
Yeah, we'll go in tonight. I mean, obviously, Bez was unbelievable in the sprint. Had their double long lap, so couldn't get up there. Bagnaia, absolutely nowhere. Fraud watch has to be James. Has to be.
Yeah.
We've had a bloody crazy couple of nights out as well. So.
Raul Fernandez, we do a pod with him, and then he somehow wins.
Yeah.
It's a Republica effect, mate. Republica effect.
It is a little bit, isn't it? So, yeah, we on Thursday, we had a big day. So, we had a chat to Raul Fernandez, Anea Bastianini, Johan Zarco, and one Mir in their Honda Hospitality. So, trying to get them released, but it's been a bit difficult with Dorna with their TV rights, so we're trying to work on that at the moment.
We did get in trouble, and then when Tom and I awkwardly had to go into like the Dorna head office part of Phillip Island like Grand Prix, and we handed out four packets of Tim Tams trying to sweeten their deal over everyone. So yes, they do all like us, but
yeah. No, well, they're wonderful people in there. It's just they got rules and regs and stuff that
TV rights.
Yeah, they've got to adhere to. So we'll get that out when we can. It is on Patreon for our beautiful Patriots, all released at the moment. So if you wanted to jump on there to listen to those four podcasts, you're more than welcome to.
Bro, big weekend.
Yeah.
Big weekend. Before we get into it all, shout out to motorheaven.com.au. The guys that were down there, down at Phillip Island this weekend as well. But head to motorheaven.com.au, get all your motorcycle accessories. They are the best.
Yes. And obviously our YouTube and Instagram peeps, keep liking and subscribing, all that kind of stuff. So really appreciate it. Subscribing to the YouTube makes a big difference for us. And obviously Spotify, give us a rating. That'd be great.
Head to our Patreon because we do sneakily have all our videos on there from all those MotoGP riders as well. So, just a massive, massive, massive week really.
Let's run through it. So we got here on Wednesday.
It was Wednesday.
We had a great, just relaxing day and headed out, and the town's just magnificent. Cows is putting it on. We had a great couple of beers at the pub, and then Thursday media day. If everyone doesn't know, it's Phillip Island. So got there in the morning. We had those four podcasts. We were super nervous as well, man. Like, we don't get nervous, but it was sitting in the writer's office talking directly to the rider. It's something that we've, done a little bit of, but it's a first for us for MotoGP spec riders.
And back-to-back.
Back-to-back-to-back. It was a big day, and the weather was a bit all over the place. And then, just sort of snuck into the weekend. Friday, we had a great day. We ran around the track a little bit, had a look around. And then Saturday was just the best weather I think we've ever had on the island. It was unreal.
Best in 10 years at least.
Yeah, we deserve some good weather, and it was... out of control, wasn't it?
Out of control. But it was wild doing all the pods of Juan Mir, man. Just like an insight. I didn't know what to expect with him, but he was the most lovely fella I've almost ever met. He was so nice. He's
a lovely, lovely guy. And it was super genuine, super interested in us as well.
Yeah.
Lovely dude. And Zarco for me was a highlight. I really enjoyed listening to him and his... love of golf it's just the life of a MotoGP rider. We get into his office and he's booking flights for between Portimao and Valencia coming up and later in the year.
Yeah, you're like peeping on his phone.
Yeah.
You're caught out peeping his phone. So rude.
I did. T-shirts, but.
Yeah, you are peepers.
Yeah, he's got to get the configure going, so. But yeah, and we've met some wonderful people out and at the track and heaps of photos around and
at the pub.
It's going to be a weekend where we're going to reflect on and absolutely love. So
yeah.
And it's a big night tonight, obviously. We're heading out to Town Riders after party, which is always a big night.
Yeah,
so
it's always a big night.
Last year, we were bloody home at 3 or 4 a.m. or something crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't
so
good. And luckily, we're not doing the pod the next morning because that was a fucking shambles.
That was a debacle for me. Yeah.
You had four words that came out of your mouth.
Yeah,
that podcast.
Yeah, it wasn't.
You weren't even there.
You weren't. No, my soul was left my body, bro. It was.
If you ever go back and watch a pod of someone struggling, go back to the first one after.
Yeah.
Grand Prix last
Should've
year.
Should have, like, I don't know, maybe like fucking had some Panadol or something would have helped, but I just went in cold turkey and.
Yeah, you raw. Well, look, just as you do with everything in life, you raw dog it.
Yeah, I do.
Don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Last night was a good night at the pub.
Last night was amazing. Met some awesome people. Run into some people from last year. They're like, oh, mate, you're a bit of shape than you were last year.
Yeah, you're fucked the year before. There was a point in the night where, like, we were getting excited, and it was only like 9 p.m. And I was like to Tom, like, we've got to cool our jets here. It's only 9 o'clock. We just got to, otherwise we'll be done by 10:30. We had to really just live in the moment for a second. Yeah. And then.
Yeah, I agree. Probably the same thing's going to happen tonight.
Yeah. We're going to be a bit more European tonight. Then we're going out for dinner a little bit later. We're going to do the pod. We've got to edit. But I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone that came up and said g'day. And, you know, we really appreciate it. We really do appreciate everyone coming up and saying hello and talking to us about MotoGP or the pod or just taking an interest. It really does mean a lot. It's the main reason why we do it as well.
Yeah, 100%. Let's get into the action, eh? So, Raul Fernandez, the maiden win. Unbelievable. Nobody saw it coming except obviously me, put him in the top three. Mitchell Bunting, this is directed at you, mate.
So. You might as well tell the story.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mitchell Bunting said he will give me sexual favors if I put Raul Fernandez in the top.
On our comment, on our top five post.
Yeah, he was in there. So, yeah, Raul Fernandez, number one. First win. Congratulations to him and also to all the Trackhouse team. Fabio Di Giannantonio, second. Bezzecchi, third after a couple of long laps. Alex Marquez, fourth. Acosta, fifth. Luca Marini, sixth. Alex Rins, seventh. Brad Binder, eighth. Bastianini, ninth. And Paul Espargaro, tenth, which is... unbelievable, actually, for him. Like, and I said to James in the qualifying, he qualified seventh. I mean, a guy that is a test rider, and you've got all the other test riders pretty much up the back. That was a, you know, amazing result.
Incredible. He's just so fast. I really don't understand how Paul Espargaro is so quick.
And such a physically demanding fast track. I mean,
with a lot of balls.
I think that's where you need the balls, as you just said. I mean, it's one of those tracks where you really need to put your... You know, balls on the line, and for him to qualify in the top seven, which is unreal, and then finishing in the top 10, amazing.
Incredible. Like, you can't ask for more than that for a test rider. Like, he's had a lot of experience, obviously, but he's not a full-time MotoGP rider. Like, he can't be doing that. You know, you look at all the other test riders, prime example, you've got Lorenzo Savadori. He's actually doing a great job in 16th. Somkiat Chandra may as well be just a fucking test rider. And Michele Pirro, who was 50 seconds behind, tailing Somkiat the whole race. So, like, you know, to be 16 seconds off the lead is incredible for a test rider.
What happened to Aldeguer? Just a terrible weekend, wasn't it?
Just didn't have the speed. Yeah, and that's... I thought he was going to do better. I really did. I thought he was going to be much faster. I thought this track would suit him and the Ducati style, but it clearly didn't really suit a Ducati, even though DG got second. But... This is how it is, really.
Yeah.
And he's a rookie. Like, fuck, he's a rookie. You can't be too harsh on him. He won his maiden race win in Mandalika, but fuck, it is what it is.
Yeah. For me, it was amazing sitting there. We were watching on, like, turn 12 from the inside of the track on top of the picks. It was a really good spot. And the gap was just massive. Like, you know, it felt like Fernandez came around, and then it was like an entire till, you know, Chandra and Pirro came
back. 50 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously you had you know, Fernandez came back again. It seems like such a massive gap, you know? So that was interesting to me. And, Chancho, 50 seconds off the pace. Bagnaia, where do you start? You know...
we will get the Raul, but we're going to talk about Bagnaia.
Yeah, for me, it was like, you know, you have a guy who was, you know... so far off the pace in the sprint race. Again, the same as, you know, what happened in Mandalika, and then DNFs in the main race. Pretty much the same weekend that he had.
But just, like, it's the number one question, Tom, that we were asked by everyone who met us was, what's going on with Pecco Bagnaia? And every time we both answered saying, I wish we knew, but Pecco Bagnaia doesn't know, and we definitely don't know what's going on. Like, there is some serious issues going on there. I'm calling it now. By the end of next year, he will not be, you know, by 2027, he will not be a factory Ducati rider. It's not happening.
No. He can't. They can't afford to be last and second last in a sprint and then dead last in DNF in a main race.
Bro.
Like, you know, you go out to these countries, it's Ducati, you know, Ducati territory in Australia. Us Aussies love Ducati.
I know, but it's clearly not a Ducati track, and that's fine. So fine. It's obviously an Aprilia track. And
yeah, but did you just finish second on the same
bike?
It's not like they're all up the back.
Definitely. And that's a great point you make. But to be, you know, running around in 16th or 18th is not acceptable. You've got to be, if you're a factory Ducati rider and okay, it's not your weekend, you're still going to be pulling top fives and realistically just about a podium.
Mm.
And I get, you know, you're not going to be a podium every race unless you fucking Mark Marquez, but bro.
No one
has seen a bigger fall from grace than what this is right now of Pecco Bagnaia. Like, I remember when Marco Melandri went from Fortuna Honda, I think it was, and they finally got their man and got him to factory Ducati with Casey Stoner, brand new rules and regs, and he was nowhere. Like, that's something kind of similar, but not to be like a two-time world champion, just miss out on your third to like whatever this is.
Yeah. I know, we've never seen anything like it because you've got his teammate who's dominated this year and then he's up the back. I mean, we just haven't seen it. It is unprecedented. We haven't seen this before. And it's sad because practice qualifying looks dejected in the back of the paddock as well. Like, he was just in no man's land all weekend.
Nah, he was, he just didn't, yeah, it just. Bro, I don't know what to say about it. Like, no one knows what to say. Like, there's all these, you know, we get all these hot takes on conspiracy theories of VR46 and everything like that, but it just makes zero sense. And it just, he obviously hasn't lost the ability. The bike is definitely there because you had Digia who was second.
Yeah.
And you've got Mark who's dominated the world title. But it must be just a mixture of being Marquez's teammate and not having the feeling, and that's just mentally obliterated him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, because he even admitted, he said he was nervous when Mark was coming in, which is fine. Like, everyone's got to know that, but I don't know. Just to be that far off the pace and to, at the start of the year, it's not like he was that far off the pace. Like, he was just a genuine third, and that's fine. But it's just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse.
It's, yeah, unbelievable. He's, yeah, I just don't know where you go from here. Like, I mean, I look at the warm-up for an example this morning. He tried both bikes. Obviously, they had two different setups. He didn't put a represented time up there. Leads you with no confidence going into the race, and then he crashes. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. It's like
two different bikes for the whole weekend, which is always a bad sign.
Yeah.
Remember when KTM had four different bikes? They all had their own setup. Like, and remember we were saying then, this is the start of the year.
Yeah.
We were saying then, this is a shit show. This is an absolute shit show. They don't have a base setup. That's him right now. It's the exact same thing. That's when you know you're in a world of hurt.
It's 100% true. I mean, that's when you know that the direction is just gone out the window and there's nowhere to go. I mean, for me, it's a really sad, sad time for him. And we said it all the weekend. We're speaking to people, and it's just we feel sorry for him. You know, like it really is. You feel sorry for this guy because he's trying his best. I don't think it helps that he's got his sister in the paddock.
You've been saying this all weekend. You're chewing people's ear off in the middle of the pub last night. Yeah, about this. He just hyperfixation.
But he comes in all dejected. She looks like she's nearly in tears. She's death staring all the mechanics. I just don't think that's a good environment.
What about the missus?
I don't know where the missus is. I thought it was the missus, but it's the sister. So I'm not 100% sure.
They look the same. The sister's got the Ducati Lenovo Ducati gear on.
Yeah.
Where the missus has her own gear on.
Yeah, and they were both there this weekend. But yeah, I just feel like that's a bad environment to come in. Like, for me personally, if I'm going in and I've got my sister death staring me, death staring the mechanics, and I'm feeling like shit, it's going to make me feel worse and not going to help at all. How's that? Is there any that positivity for me?
Yeah, I know your sister. That would not help at all.
No, God no. God no.
So, that's actually so funny.
But like, it's not, it's, how is that? There's no positive to that situation.
No, there's not. You could keep it strictly business. But fuck, we're quick to jump, you know. If he was winning two world titles, then everyone would probably be saying, fuck, it's good to have a family atmosphere.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, but yeah, it just never sat with me well. That I think, I mean, it's good, all good having a family there, but when you have them in the box, when you're coming back, you know, mid-session and they're looking like they're in tears. It just doesn't sit well with me at all.
What do we always say about the flyaways? What do they always produce?
Yeah, it throws up results, and it has again.
Isn't that crazy?
Raul Fernandez winning Phillip Island. I mean, like, who would have thought? We interviewed him on Thursday. He seemed like relaxed and confident, but, you know, to win the race. And arguably, like, yeah, he really let go of the last couple of laps. I think he had a better 4.5 second lead and then finished off just winning by a second. But, you know, obviously he had the gap. Would Bez still have won without the double long lap? It would have been a pretty close fight, James.
I think it would have been like the sprint and he would have had him.
Yeah, it would have been. Would have been close.
But, bro, all credit to Rail. Like, yeah, we spoke to him on Thursday. Really, really nice guy. Probably a bit misunderstood. I thought he was a bit cheeky.
Yes, he was.
He's a bit cheeky, Rail. And I like that. I really like that.
Still so young as well.
Still so young. But what Trackhouse are doing with that American team and what and how we spoke to Rail about, like, mental adversity and seeing a sports psychologist, everything like that. But to see him come out and win and, you know, not throw it down the road on the sprint race when he easily could have and easily could have in the main race and to hold that gap. Bro, credit where credit is due, definitely, because he rode an amazing race and just kind of charged out in front, saved his tires clearly, and just ran his own race, which would be so hard to do.
And he didn't crash all weekend from memory, so, I mean, that's a big positive as well, because there's no small crashes at Phillip Island unless it's turn four Miller, because the rest of them, we saw some fucking mangled massive bikes. I mean,
Alex Marquez, turn one.
We ran up and had a look at Alex's bike that came back through.
That was fucked.
The rear axle was just spent, like, snapped in half.
The whole rear bike was on.
It was still spraying, like, radiator fluid out at that point when we were seeing it. I mean, it was mangled. You said it best. You're like, mechanics aren't... lunch is cancelled for the mechanics. Fuck, this is true. Like, you know, and just on those mechanics, it's not a... You know, it's a cool job on the TV, but fuck, they work hard. Yeah. And it's not glamorous, you know, flying around everywhere, all economy seating.
Especially for the Moto3 boys.
Like, we look at the Intact GP, who just won the race, and there's no joy in the mechanic side of things. There's a yes, let's go, come on. And then, bang, they're just packing up and heading to Malaysia. There's no stopping and having a good time unless you're a, you know, rider or a team manager along those lines, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a good point. So, Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right, you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So, I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV, or controversially like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want. Brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom, but that is the they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you. Good on Rail, good on Trackhouse, and good on Aprilia. Like, Aprilia, clearly the second best bike on that grid. But what it's a great sign...
I reckon it's the best bike now.
What's a great sign with Aprilia is now they've got fast riders in Trackhouse and factory team. Mm. Just like how it is in Ducati. And that's a great sign for a brand.
Because Aiguru will come back and he's fast and he's injured. He's had a really rough few months, but
they've got Jorge Martin.
Yeah. You're quick to forget that, aren't we?
Yeah, quick to forget that. You know, who's obviously had the gone on record to say the worst title defense in the history of title defenses in any sport ever. And you got Marco Bezzecchi, who's just turned it around amazingly. Rail Fernandez turned it around. Like, bro, we're talking and we've listened to a couple podcasts and just people in the media have been saying, yeah, Rail Fernandez done. This is 2-3 rounds ago. But Will Voigt kind of been on the opposite end where we've seen his results where he's been fifth, he's been sixth, he's had pace. Maybe, you know, obviously the past few years he's been nowhere, and that's understandable. Like, we know that. That's fine. But he's had pace leading up to it. It's not like it's a shock that he's won, but it's not a shock that he's been this fast, because he's had pace building up to this. Aprilia's built a better bike through the season, and now they're reaping the rewards.
Yeah, I remember when he signed again, I think it was maybe even a 2-year deal, and everyone's like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But they obviously saw something in this kid.
And remember when they signed that deal, and we couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
Like, clearly we couldn't understand it. I remember saying to you, or you said to me, it's like, surely they just see something in the data. Because everyone's so data-driven.
Yeah.
But surely they can just see something in the data where they think, this kid's still got something, because he's fast.
Yeah,
he's... And maybe it's just a mental thing, which is kind of always said. But...
Well, he's got X Factor, and that's what you want. I mean, you look at Diego Moreira coming from Moto2 to Moto3. He still might win the championship, but he's made some fucking stupid mistakes this year, especially in, you know, Sachsenring. But they're still going to sign him because he's shown that X Factor.
Bro, he's got X Factor. Same we'll get into him.
You know, Marquez coming in as well. I mean, yeah, he made some mistakes, but obviously he's like...
Another level.
But, you know, they must just see something. And Raul Fernandez has done nothing. A couple of front rows, a couple of this, a couple of that.
Catalunya, he was leading the race, I think, and then binned it.
Correct,
a couple of years ago.
Which, again, to get to that point in your career, to be leading a race, you have to have some sort of...
Yeah, you got something fucking edge.
Yeah, some fucking something, you know? So, yeah, good on him. And, yeah, really nice guy. I mean, it's the Republic of Effects, Ross Gann.
That's what we keep saying, it's the Republic Effect. Didn't help Ryan Mir, unfortunately. He crashed, but...
He crashed in both sprint and main race as well.
And we actually spoke to him about the crashing and everything like that. It was a bit of a touchy subject, but had to ask it.
Yeah, well, it was a bit nerve-wracking sitting in the Honda... hospitality and everyone's watching you as well.
How crazy was it? And like, look, we're just fans. Obviously, we're just fans that just like to talk, but it's funny. As a kid, you might walk around the paddock or something like that and you see the hospitality. You're like, fuck, I wonder what it's like walking in there. Never walked in there in my life. And then we had the opportunity and we just walked in there and it's like, oh, it's just a tent. with like some tables.
Yeah.
But you kind of just think as a kid and growing up older, like, man, it's like the promised land in there. It's just a tent with some coffee.
And it's so funny for us because you give us an inch and we'll take a mile.
Fuck yeah.
So we had, you know, pit lane access and things like that this week. But like, you go on the pit lane, you're like, I want to be out in the fucking grid. You know, like it's never enough.
Yeah.
You know, just enjoy wherever the access you get, just enjoy it and embrace it, because it doesn't matter if you're up in the hospitality bit, if you're down there, you get, as long as you see the bikes come past, you enjoy, that's all that matters.
But the motorsport fans aren't like that.
Yeah.
Like... that everyone tries to just grab a little bit more for free. I don't know what it is. It's like in the atmosphere of it, or getting a photo with a rider. Like, we got kicked out of pit lane twice, you and I, because we weren't supposed to be in that. We just walked onto the grid wall.
Yeah, well, Sakiri let us in, but Dorna weren't too happy about it. But the session was ongoing, so it's probably the wrong thing to do. But that's the thing, we're in that stage where, like, you don't know what's right, what's wrong, I suppose.
We just walk in confidently and see what happens. Yeah. It's easier in, like, Southeast Asian countries.
We're harmless, though. We are harmless, so.
What happened with hospitality, mate? Tell them about that.
We'll keep that a secret, I think.
We'll save that for the Patreon.
We had a few beers today, so, which was good.
So awkward. Look at him, he's so awkward.
Probably too many beers, to be honest.
Yeah, wines. More wines.
Actually, the wines, yeah.
Is Bez clearly Tom Shavulak the number two rider on the grid right now?
Oh, yeah. I think... I think you're on favourites for him to win the next three races, aren't we?
Portimao. Oh, Malaysia. Portimao and Valencia.
Valencia always throws up a weird result because it's like the little go-kart track. Raul Fernandez's favourite track.
Valencia, yeah.
Wild. I mean, it's one of the worst tracks on the calendar. I mean, now that Hungary's in, it's probably not the worst.
Balaton Park is a fucking shitsville. And even speaking to people in the paddock today, they all fucking hated it.
Yeah, everyone hated it. You get that from the media as well. I think it's the vibe from the media when that happens. Like, if they say it's shit, it's shit. So, you know, they've been there. They've experienced it. The facility's supposed to be an all-new track, but everyone just says it's fucking dog shit.
Fucking Eastern European. Sorry, Eastern European listeners. Bez clearly the number two rider on the grid, yeah?
Yep.
Ahead of Alex Marquez.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, 100%. And look, Mark will come back at some stage, probably Valencia, we think, because he'll be back for the test. But for me, it's going to be, well, is he still going to be 100%? Maybe not. So that's where, for me, Bez is just going to... And he should dominate the next three races.
I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think Aprilia still are certain to certain tracks. They're not a bike that can just win on every track like a Ducati. I think that's a set. I think that's what separates Ducati and Aprilia. Because Ducati's so all-rounded with the right riders that they can win on any track where Aprilia can't. And Barcelona is a good example of that.
Barcelona is a great example of that. It's just, for me, it's just, they're so close now, isn't it? The last three rounds.
And we're only saying this because Marc Marquez is not there, which is great. Like, it's great. And we've spoken about that all weekend. Like, how open it is. The racing is so open now. And then you have a fellow like Rael Fernandez who wins. And I guarantee if Marc Marquez was racing fully fit there, he would have won.
Marquez would have won this weekend if he was fully fit.
He would have beat Bezzecchi. And Bezzecchi wouldn't have had that double long lap, and he still would have beat. Bro, like, you just... Okay, Bez was fast. He was so much faster than everyone else, but he had a double long lap.
But he wasn't. I mean, I was surprised. He had the double long lap, had clear air, and really didn't put... You know, look, we haven't watched the race back, like, intently. Obviously, we watched it live and watched some highlights back. But for me, he came back in the pack and just sort of... was stuck there. I mean,
well, that's modern MotoGP.
Yeah.
But that's the difference between like a Marc Marquez who was 17th last year in Philippe Island.
13th, 14th, yeah.
17th.
He didn't go to 17th.
He was 17th.
Oh, shit.
You fucking right there, mate? No, you're good. You're good. It's gone. Oh, yeah. It was 17th and it's hyperfixation. It's down there. Fucking hell. Tom's cable's falling off. Go on, put it back. Hurry up. There we go. He was 17th last year. And he fought his way back. That's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, 12th to 7th. Yeah, 12th, 17th. But still fighting back, getting back from there is amazing, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, if Mark was fully fit, he would be dominating that race.
Yeah, well, he dominated on an inferior bike last year, you got to remember as well.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
That's how open this all is. Don't yawn. It's been a big weekend.
Yeah, it has.
It's been a big weekend. But, you know, was it a missed opportunity for Bez? No, because he's still... I still think he made the best of a bad situation. I never had him for the win. I only had him for the podium, which he did. And that's a win.
But he should have won two races in a row, James.
Yeah, I know, but he fucking shouldn't have taken out Marquez.
It's just so frustrating for him. And for Aprilia, how lucky they are for Rahul to step up and win the race. I mean, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, and he won the sprint
race. And even like Sava. Like, the guy's finished... Sava's finished... You know, 16 seconds in front of Chandra and Pirro. Which I know they're not in the same league, but for him to come in, he's only finished 6 or 7 seconds behind Morbidelli on a Ducati, which is pretty impressive. That obviously it is a good bike to ride after having a massive crash through the weekend as well.
You got to remember, Sava's basically a full time rider of Jorge Martinez here.
Yeah, it's true.
He's done a lot of rides.
Yeah,
bro, what's going on with Morbidelli?
Yeah, it was a strange
fucking
one. Just
shit weekend.
Yeah, just had a ridiculously bad weekend. He's never really performed well in Philippe Island. Has definitely not one of his favorite tracks.
I think VR46 could fill that seat with a better rider. It just wouldn't be an Italian rider.
I think Aldeguer will probably end up there at one point, because if he's not going to get a factory ride, I mean, what do you do? I mean,
he'll end up in a factory Ducati 2027. No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. There's some bloody rumors around the paddock on who's going where, and you know, Bagnaia is going to be the big one in 27 where he's going, because you can't stay where you are now. Flogging a dead horse at both ends, if you know what I mean.
Well, the telltale sign for Bagnaia will be five rounds into next year. Then we'll know what's going on. Until then, we don't.
100%.
Yeah, that's... And like, even the Valencia test, I wrote this down in my notes. The Valencia test is going to be huge to see what bike they roll out and how different it's going to be. And it kind of leads me on to, like, Ducati is in a weird place for 2026.
So weird.
Because you've got Bagnaia, who is so behind the eight ball, and then you've got Mark, who's so far ahead of it. Like, where's the common ground? Like, where are they going to lean to? What bike are they going to be, you know, rolling out, and how are they going to try and accommodate both riders when they're in such different levels?
Yeah. Well, as we know, the 26 bike is going to be a shiny 24, but obviously the 24 Ducati, you know, it was a very good motorcycle, very, very good, probably the best we've ever seen. But all these other teams have just you know, gather momentum with these concessions, and they're coming closer and closer and closer. My prediction next year is Ducati are definitely not going to dominate.
I'm with you. I agree. Mm. Because and a example of this is Bezzecchi smashing the lap record in Philip Arms.
Yeah.
By like half a second. Mm. So that's already there. It's already proof in the pudding. But to be consistent over every single track is different.
Yeah. Well, that's the hard thing. That's true. That's true. And the other thing is Aprilia tracks. We always talk about that. Oh, it's an Aprilia track. But it's sort of that switch has been flipped a lot this year. I mean, it used to be Barcelona was an Aprilia track, which it wasn't. So,
it never used to be in a Phillip Islands.
No, and now it is. So, for me, that's something that they've obviously changed the DNA of the motorcycle, and it's performing a lot better in more round tracks. Because he dominated Mandalika, let's be honest. Mm. Like, he would have won that easily.
Yeah.
And he went back, yeah. And he went back in the sprint, and he went back in the main race, and then, you know, obviously fluffed Mark and dumped him into the bloody sand trap, and... but yeah, I mean, what would have been if Marc Marquez was there this weekend? It would have, it might have just been a domination for Marquez, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I can't see why not, really. Bro, Honda's still coming. Sixth place for Marini. I had him fifth, almost there.
Yeah.
But sixth place, they are there, man. Like, they are coming. Seeing that bike in person is one of the most beautiful motorcycles I've ever seen.
I know. We were so worried when Repsol left and we thought, oh, geez, this bike, what's it going to look like? What's it going to be? And
very
it looks
worried.
Spectacular.
Yeah, it does.
It looks spectacular. Well, up close on TV, everything in between, it looks awesome. So
they're looking good, man.
It's like a fashionable brand again. I keep telling you that.
You have been saying that.
It's like I wouldn't touch a Honda 2 years ago, and now I'm like, fuck, that looks alright. I'd buy one of those. Even your mate from work bought one the other, like what, 6 months ago, maybe a year ago.
Nah, not even 2 months ago.
Even back then, I was like, oh, why would you buy one of them? But now I'm like, I'd buy one of those. Mm. It's amazing how quick brands can change their thoughts. Now, I'm not the person you want to be, you know, having the target audience to sell one.
Go on.
But for me, I think I'm a good barometer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're a good barometer because you don't have any allegiances.
No. And for me, the history of MotoGP, yes, is an important aspect, but... You know, I'm always one of the new. I want the new, latest and greatest. What's out at the moment? What's popular? You know. So, looking back in the 70s and 80s doesn't mean anything to me.
Nah, it doesn't for you. But Honda is coming, and they're coming hard. They're coming hard. next year they're going to be fighting for podiums.
Yeah.
That's my. Yeah, they're just throwing everything at it, man. They're throwing everything at it.
Next year will be the most competitive MotoGP season we've ever seen.
Oh, that's a big
We're going to have KTM, who hopefully have an injection of money. Aprilia looks like it has the fastest bike on the grid. You got Honda back up there. You know, Yamaha's Yamaha. We'll just leave them. Someone has to finish last. And then you got Ducati. So,
bro, it's so exciting. It is so exciting.
When's the last time you've had four different manufacturers going for a win?
I know, it is.
It's been a long time.
It's so exciting to see. And then for Honda, right? They're going to be fast next year. And then in 2027, they've got an open checkbook for any rider they want.
Yeah.
They might keep the same too.
Pedro Acosta.
Pedro Acosta is going to make bank. And if they're already approving like they are, I'm telling you, mate, they're on their way. They are definitely on their way into doing something big. So they're never going to... Honda's are sleeping giants. They're the ones that are going to be still the most dominant in 10 years' time.
Well, look, it didn't look good. It didn't look good a year or so ago, but credit where credit is due, as we say on this podcast, because they have come back and they're threatening again, which is so good for the sport. And it all started with Make Honda Great Again.
Yeah, they actually did. They followed our 10-point plan, where Yamaha is the complete opposite, which we know, which is Prima Pramac. They're coming last in the Teams Championship, aren't they?
Prima Pramac Ducati are coming last in the Teams Championship, which is wild because we think about Ducati, the domination, you know. Yes, but you know, Pramac, Yamaha, they've obviously gambled to go into that Yamaha engine.
More money they'll be getting.
More money, more problems, as they say.
It's true. But look, I don't know. Next year, actually, I'm really interested in Yamaha next year.
I still think your old man thinks Raul Fernandez is riding a Ducati, by the way. He said it all weekend.
Yeah, he did. So if all listeners don't know, and people that met us will know, Superbike Shaw was with us tagging along all weekend, and Just the miscommunication between you two was hilarious all weekend. You would say something and he would just go off on a different tangent because he heard something different, and then you would as well. It was the most frustrating thing.
It was funny. And we had him today. He was talking to some folks that we met, and he's like, oh, God, he's been so good, Raul Fernandez. It's not just the Ducati. He's, you know, he's going really well.
That? Yes.
And then they're like, oh. I was like, I'm not correcting. I'm not correcting.
So awkward. It's so awkward.
Yeah.
But that's all I got from MotoGP, bro. I'm just excited. How did you find, let's just talk about the event.
Yep.
How did you find the event this year? Because apparently it was 90,000 over the weekend.
92,000 over the weekend, which is not too bad. I mean, we spoke to Joey from OzGP. She said the crowd numbers were down, but it's going to happen because no Marquez there. Championship's done. It's like the double tap there. So look, the event is improving year by year. I thought walking, you know, from probably turn 12 to turn 1 yesterday, you know, it's the stuff happening. It still surprised me that, you know, how many people were there on Friday, but what Mum says is it's free Fridays for everyone who's local, so probably have to add a few more thousand for that. But for me, yeah, it's just, for me, it needs to attract to a more younger audience. I think OzGP realistically are making so much money with F1. Do they really care too much about MotoGP?
Seems like that.
We've got one more year next year at Phillip Island before the contract is up. Is it going to stay in Phillip Island? Is it not? Do they know something we don't know? So it's a very, very, very interesting, you know, it's a very interesting time because OzGP, for instance, are all based in Australia and they're all based in Melbourne, you know. Is it going to stay in Melbourne? It's, for me, it sort of has to. I mean, I don't know how they get away with, you know, having it in two separate states if everything's here. So, and where would it go? What track? You know, what's the option?
Avalon.
Yeah, but they're not going to build that track before 27, are they?
No, that's true. It does. I really thought the crowd numbers seemed down, if I'm going to be honest. But every single person that we spoke to, Tom, was under, let's say, 40. Easy 35.
Yes.
Easy under 40. Around 35 and under. So, like, there is a drip feed of a younger audience coming in, but, you know, and there's, like, young girls that are coming through as well, watching it, flying over from all different parts of the country. Like, so it's slowly happening. It's just not, you know, nothing's going to boom like F1, clearly. But
no, not yet anyway. But it's just, it's so frustrating for us because we know this sport is just on the iceberg of booming.
It is. It really
Liberty
is.
Liberty Media coming in, going to spend some money now. Is that a bad thing possibly for Phillip Island because they see the crowd numbers? They see that it's going to, you know, it's a 2-hour drive for a lot of people
facilities.
To get here. The facilities are fucking terrible. Not the worst in the world from what we found out today. Not the worst in the world.
Nah,
but
there's one other country that's worse, Argentina.
Yeah, apparently. Well, careful. Might get death threats from there.
Oh, yeah, Argentina. Oh, well, we met one ice Argentinian on the weekend. He was very nice.
Lovely guy. Yeah, so it's a very interesting time. I mean, obviously, we'd love it to stay here. I just don't know where else you'd go, really. For me, it's the Bend has just got no soul. And is people really going to turn up to that event? You know, that's still not in the city.
Nah.
You know, if you want to go to a designated racetrack and it's not a street circuit, it's not really anything close to the city, you know? So, yeah.
Build a hotel, Lindsay Fox.
Well, he's trying to. The Bass Coast Council need to say yes to it. That's the problem. Bloody lefties.
That is the problem. Yeah. The problem is councils.
A couple of bloody poor little squans are going to die. I mean, just fucking move on. Let's be honest. Jesus Christ. Two seagulls died on the track yesterday anyway.
Bez's bike, huh?
That was pretty crazy.
Something about seagulls, mate.
Let's jump on a Moto2 because that was probably a feel-good moment of the weekend for everyone. Senna Agius winning his home Grand Prix. I mean,
bro, amazing.
Amazing. So,
and dominated.
Like, dominated. Congratulations to him. It sort of all worked out, but he had the pace in the end, didn't he? Like, it wasn't just they were fighting amongst themselves. He had the raw pace.
Yeah.
And for him to come here and win. Now, guys, you got to understand that this kid is a legend. He's such a nice guy.
Republica effect.
Republica effect again. But he doesn't do 50 laps a week. You know, 50 laps a year down at Phillip Island testing. You know, he goes the same amount of time as everybody else. Yeah. Like, I remember him saying to us on this chairs, on this seat right now, he goes, everyone thinks, you know, Phillip Island's my home circuit, but I've been there once in my life. Yeah. You know, I've been there the same time as everybody else. So it's the home crowd effect, obviously. And then, you know, he just puts his heart and soul into it, isn't it?
Well, he got asked going into the weekend, like, why are you so fast at Phillip Island and compared to other countries? It's because I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, because I've got my family here and I'm comfortable. And clearly, that's obviously a big thing.
Yeah.
Especially not, you know, for the Europeans, it's so close to home for everything. But for an Australian or a Kiwi, like Cormac or the Japanese or the Americans, it's so far away.
Yeah, and everyone else has to travel that far to get here. And he has that little bit of an advantage. He's got a bit of a... Well, he's all his family, as you touched on. So, all right. So, yeah, I'll go through the results. So, Senna Agius first, David Alonso second.
Great ride.
Great ride. Diego Moreira third, Danny Holgado fourth, Jake Dixon fifth. Always does well down here, Jake Dixon. Barry Balthaus sixth, Manu Gonzalez seventh.
Fuck, he got seventh.
Shit. Albert Arenas eighth, Aaron Canet ninth, and Ayumi Sasaki 10th place.
Sasaki had a good ride as well, actually. But yeah, just... It's look, obviously Australian bias. It's just amazing. It's great to see an Aussie win in Phillip Island again for the first time since Casey Stoner fly the Aussie flag.
It was good, wasn't it?
It was great to see. It was so good to see. And we know Senna and it's and his old man. It's just it just brings a smile on your face. The kids got something.
He does. He's 19 years old. I mean, everyone's getting so excited about David Alonso, but they're the same age. I mean, we've touched on that many times on the pod. So
to be fair, David Alonso's had a good rookie season.
I mean, 1-2 today. So, yeah incredible. You see, you meet his mom, his dad, his sister's there as well today, and everyone's got a massive smile on their face. Everyone's so happy, and hopefully we'll see him out of the pub tonight. We got a message from one of the boys. He's like, oh, make sure you look after Senna tonight. And I'm like, make sure he looks after us.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, there's a head on him. That was the head on him.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Bro, Diego Moreira has got X Factor.
Yeah, doesn't he?
And he's got some serious momentum going into the end part of the championship. We know Manu well, so we like going for him as well, but we'll try and keep out.
Only I mean, 2 points. Separate. 2 points. It could have been 25 points last week, and Manu got disqualified, and now it's down to 2 points. And Diego Moreira is just coming fast. So, yeah, it's got all the momentum going his way.
Yeah, it definitely does. He's quick.
But if you looked at, like, for example, in Thailand, Intact GP dominated that track. And look, Sepang is a different circuit, but it's very similar in climate. I'm thinking that it's going to be a bit of an Intact GP circuit, so
look, who knows?
We'll wait and see.
Who knows? But it's exciting. It's exciting to see Diego Moreira now getting pushed up into MotoGP. LCR Honda, two fast riders, a fast rookie, and Zarco, the elder statesman on that MotoGP bike, is so exciting.
Yeah,
can't wait for that.
Yeah, super exciting. It's such an exciting category watching it today. Like, you know, that again,
good rate racing.
The top 10 to 15 is just there's some great names in there. And only a very, very small few will make it to MotoGP. We believe today that... believe this year, I should say, that Manu Gonzalez actually got a contract offer from Yamaha and denied it for next year, which is super interesting.
But why would you want to ride for them? For a Pramac?
So he chooses to stay in Moto2 again next year rather than taking a Yamaha, which is wild in my opinion.
Yeah, but
self-confidence,
bro, you're so doomed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you look at, you know... Chantra could have stayed in Moto2 another year and then maybe got a better ride. Maybe his career could have turned out differently, but he's taken that first option, the token option, and now he's going to be in super bikes for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and tired.
Because you're not coming back to MotoGP.
Nah, not happening.
As soon as you come and fail and go, you're not coming back. I don't think it's ever happened.
Yeah.
Where they've come back and they've succeeded.
Nah, the only time like is the opposite, where Tony Lease has gone from 250s to MotoGP, back to Moto2, and then won a title. But not MotoGP, somewhere else, then MotoGP. No way.
Yeah.
Moto3, bro.
Moto3. Yes.
Gone.
Sorry.
Get it going.
All right. Jose Antonio Reyes.
So fast.
First. Joel Kelso, our boy. Jolie. Second. Alvaro Cuppe, third. Joel Esteban, fourth. Which was amazing for Esteban because he wildcarded, didn't he?
Yep.
And beat Quiles on the same bike, which is crazy, for fifth. Adrian Fernandez, sixth. Brother of Raul. Luca Leonard, seventh. Teo Furusato, eighth. David Almansa, ninth. And Matteo Batali, tenth. He was fast all weekend, actually.
Yep.
Teammate of Joel's, obviously.
Very happy for Jolie. Good friends of ours. And we know the bros down there. So very happy for him to grab seconds.
Yep. He was stoked as well, which is awesome to hear. Yeah.
So good to see. And Aussies had an awesome weekend. You know, obviously Jack off the sprint podium. Yeah. As well. So Very, very happy for Jolie and all the boys down there. But even he said, and I overheard some of his press conference in like the media scrum, you know, Jose Antonio Rey, he's just so good.
So good on the tires.
Yeah. Just doesn't put a foot wrong and just didn't even give him a sniff. Sometimes you can have a sniff and just block past someone, do a fucking Danny Munoz and...
Yeah, no, he didn't give him a chance to pass him. So, I mean, that's, yeah, kudos to a Rowan. And we saw, as soon as you see a second or 1.5 seconds, Moto 3, it's done.
Yeah.
And Rueda is just so good on those tyres, late race pace, I always say. Amazing.
And Kelso had a lead.
Yeah.
So I had to chase him down. Yeah. We obviously watched about half and half of Moto 3, so it's a bit hard to comment on all of it at the moment. But
yes.
Just Rueda, a 10th victory, I think, believe, for the season, just dominating it. Kid's got some serious talent and just another Spanish kid that is very, very fast.
Yeah. Bad luck to Jacob Rulston. Obviously, home GP crashed out, which is super unfortunate. We spoke to his sister post-race and it's good spirit. So, hopefully we'll see him out tonight. And Cormac Buchanan, dude, what a cool, cool character.
Yeah, we love him. He's a great guy.
Kiwi from you know, the pretty much Australia.
Across the ditch.
lovely guy. I have a lot of time for him. And he had a great weekend. 11th place. Got points. Super nice dude, as we said. And
awesome to see.
Cool little future on him. Hopefully he stays in the paddock for a long time, because it's good to have Kiwis in there as well.
Yeah.
And lots of Kiwis. Ran into lots of Kiwis today who made the trip over. So pretty much they're close to their home GP, I suppose.
Yeah, as it would be. Yeah, definitely. So it's great to see. And really nice to meet Cormac. Really, really good young fella. But going back to Jose Antonio Rueda, he is just too fast for this paddock, mate. And then next year, it's going to be Maximo Quiles's year.
Yeah, I reckon. Too fast, too furious.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell. All right. It's been a big fucking... Oh, it's a sickness that's already
it's
started.
Coming, it's coming.
It's been a big week. All right, hot takes. Thank you for everyone. Thank you for everyone sending them in. Tried to get them out this morning. All right. @heart_Melbourne, your boy T-Shaved. Rael Fernandez is DG Antonio 2.0.
Wow. So you reckon he's going to win the next couple of races, get a factory seat, and then do nothing for the rest of his life?
Rough when Didier got seconds.
He was amazing, remember, Didier, though, in these races 2 years ago.
Qatar, remember that?
Yeah.
Won a couple races.
And then, did he win? No, he was coming. He was coming hard on... Coming hard's been the bloody...
I know, thing. I keep saying that. What the fuck's going on?
He was coming hard on Valencia, bro. And he just missed out, I think, from that win, but that was a couple of years ago.
Pole position to Mugello 1 year as well. Again, @_Melbourne. Did Marc Marquez really win another championship without the best bike?
Oh, geez. You have an opinion on that, because you reckon 2019 didn't have the best bike. You think the Ducati was a better bike?
2019, I don't believe he had the best bike. And that's obviously what Hart Melbourne is saying. And then going back to you, T-Shaves, is you've been consistently saying that Aprilia is the best bike.
Mm.
So is that you're saying that Marc Marquez is actually winning on the second best bike to put the ball back on yours?
I think now the Aprilia is a better bike, as in the last few Grand Prix, not halfway through the season,
not the first six rounds easy.
And there's a reason why... And it's not the sole reason, but there's a reason why Bezzecchi crashed into the back of Marquez, because he was so much faster through that corner and so much faster on that track. It would have been, and I still think he probably would have won this weekend.
Wow. Big call. Mm. Big call.
Be interesting to see, like, Marquez versus Digia's results this year. I mean, Digia's been like seesawing massively, and so is Morbidelli. But it would have been interesting to see if, like, Didier was further down the grid when Mark wasn't dominating, or if he was further up the grid when the bike was better. Love to see that graph, but no,
there'd be a graph out there.
We don't have the...
Curdy, get it going.
We don't have Curtis here, unfortunately.
Curdy got brought up in the middle of the pub at like 1:30
in the morning. Yeah. Well, Curtis...
And people talk about furries.
Curtis is on fraud watch because we had two beautiful grandstand tickets for him. All he had to do was get there, sit there, and enjoy it. And he didn't want to come down. No. The weather wasn't good. I said, Curtis, it's the best fucking day we've had in 15 years. You stalker.
Didn't want to ride down in the furry suit. That's the problem.
Yeah, his helmet cover was getting washed or something, probably.
We saw a few. Yeah, anyway. Okay. Straighten up. At JRT900, Pecco to Aprilia for 2027, replacing Martin. He and Ducati are done.
Yeah, that's a good call. I don't mind that at all.
You've been saying that Yamaha.
Well, Yamaha needs something and someone because, Quartararo is not going to last. I mean, he might.
I think Quartararo is still the second best rider on that grid, but he's just so over that Yamaha.
Well, the thing is, you remember Quartararo got pole for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing, isn't it? Incredible.
Fuck, he's amazing. I'd love to see Pecco Bagnaia Aprilia. Then he will mentally just destroy himself on that bike. Because I'm like, oh, hey, Martin. Fucking Jorge Martin, bro. He really just fucking fluffed his joint, hasn't he? At Pewee_89, do you think Marini is underestimated for what he's doing at Honda? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's
I think he is being a massive catalyst of bringing Honda back up.
He gets lost in translation, doesn't he?
Yeah. For some reason. Calls a spade a spade, but apparently, Marini.
He does. But he does. I mean, like, nobody talks about him at all.
I know. For Rossi's brother as well.
Yeah, half brother, yeah.
That's why you just summed it up right there. God, you're gassy right now. This man's the gassiest man I've ever seen.
G up, James. G up. That was a good call.
At Christian_Cairns. There doesn't seem to be enough scrutiny on how bad Pecco is going on that Ducati. Do you think there's enough scrutiny, Tom? I think there's a lot of scrutiny on it.
Yeah, there's a lot. And it's almost laughable in that media center, isn't it? When they talk about him.
Mm.
Like, it's become a joke. Like, oh, Bagnaia, he's fucking last again. How shit is he? It's not like, oh my God, that's so bad for him. It's what a joke that is, you know? It's just unbelievable.
It's because no one has an answer to it. Yeah. So then they just almost laugh it off because they don't have an answer for it. Like, if you're injured, it's different. But there's literally no answer to it.
Mm, I agree. It is.
There's no one can provide it. No one can provide us a solution, clearly. At Brisky, will David Alonso be challenging for the Moto2 title next year? Yes, he will be. With Senna Agius, with Manu Gonzalez.
Yeah, it's going to be a good year.
Maybe an Aaron Canet.
It's going to be much of the same as it's been this year, which is unusual for Moto.
Yeah.
And Danny Holgado. Look,
that's what we're thinking. And Danny Holgado. Yeah, good. You are Mr. Moto 2 at the moment. Unbelievable. The turnaround.
Thank you.
Tony Arbolino?
No. No, 27. I'll wait for the tyre change.
It's still Pirellis. The next tyre change is probably 10 years.
Yeah, true. Oh, he's done then.
At Aiden, go on.
He could have been the next star, Arbolino.
We didn't have the bees, bro. He wasn't part of the bees.
He wasn't, but...
Who's the bees? I love when you name
him. Bezzecchi, Bagnaia, Baldassare, Bastianini.
Binder.
Binder. No.
Bulliger,
yeah. Every Italian rider was named B for 1 second there.
Yeah, it was. At Aiden_Ferrigno30. Bez to be title contender next year.
No.
Is there anyone other than Marc Marquez a title contender? I think Bezzecchi is number two, but I still think there's a gap.
Nah, there's no way. Absolutely
no
way.
Is Bez beating Alex Marquez convincingly next year?
No. I don't think convincingly.
I think so. I think this is Alex Marquez's biggest year. And I think it will drop off.
God, they're going wild out
there. I know our parent, Tom and I's parents having drinks on the other side of the wall and we can hear them yelling, carrying on right now. At Matt_Stevens_, Moto2 bikes on the scream sound absolutely fucking unreal. And yes, they do.
They do. Yeah. They sound awesome. I love it. Such a different sound between the three bikes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's so different when you're there,
bro. And then, those Hondas and the MotoGP sound so fucking aggressive when they come out of pit lane. My god, they just sound like they want to kill you.
Yeah, it's amazing the sound when they first turn them on as well because it's real rough.
Do you reckon Somcat Chand was like a bit nervous of the sound, like too loud?
Something.
That's why he's slow.
Yeah, well, that could be his excuse, I suppose. So
we might have to ask him.
He won't be out tonight, I don't think.
Nah,
he wouldn't show his face. Some cunt Chandra.
At Xbox_Ben.
What?
They should dump a truckload of chips in a nearby paddock for the seagulls.
That could be a hot take of the year. That's unbelievable.
It's just got everything that takes.
It does. It's actually a good point. That's fucking crazy.
That's a great point.
Because they are an issue, isn't it? Aren't they?
Clearly. But to dump a truckload of chips in the paddock next year is probably the greatest thing I've ever heard in my whole entire life from Xbox 360. I'm just called Ben. Oh, that's fucking hilarious. Yeah, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that. Oh, that's great. They are an issue, but it's just a part of the wildlife in Australia.
Yeah.
For all that international LA listeners, there's fucking wildlife everywhere.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what's concerning? We spoke to our friend from Argentina who listens to our podcast and helps him learn English.
Yeah, I know.
That's a terrible decision. I'm the biggest mumbler ever.
I know. That is not a good idea, especially tonight's podcast.
Yeah, I'm already a few beers deep, so dude, hey, how are ya? _ Derek Hall. Fuck, these people are loud.
I know.
Aprilia has the best bike on the grid. Mark versus Bez this round would have been race of the year.
It would have been. Yeah, it's a great point. It would have been. Because obviously Bez wouldn't have had his long double long lap. Yep. It would have been one of the classics, I think.
I hope
so. And that's just the nature of this year. It's just been what could have been. No Martin.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Bez struggled at the start of the year. And then you've got, you know, Marquez engine now. So.
You summed it up perfectly. I like that. Mm. Oliver_Oz. Paul Espargaró should be on the grid over Rins, Vinales and Bastianini. Harsh on Vinales and Bastianini, but Rins I can kind of understand.
Yeah.
Definitely harsh on Vinales.
Yeah,
he's had some good results.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard on him because he's injured. But, you know, Paul, I mean, it's a good take because Paul this week... At the one of the most challenging tracks as well. I mean, can't forget about that.
Oh my God, the laughing from out the back. Unbelievable. Don't worry, T-Shells, it's all good. At Carl_Man3. Will Lenovo Ducati be the number one team next year?
No. Aprilia? Factory Aprilia will
so,
be number
but
one
you
team.
Know, you know... Who's finishing ahead of each other next year? Pecco Bagnaia or Jorge Martin?
Martin.
Convincingly?
Not convincingly, no.
But Aprilia is going to be ahead of
Bears
Factory
will
Ducati.
Win the championship next year.
Shut the fuck up. I didn't even... When I watched you say that, I didn't believe it.
No, Marquez still. But Bears will win some races next year.
Yeah, he's going to win some races. Yeah.
It'll be Marquez, Bears, and then like, I don't know, Digia maybe.
Aprilia to win a team's championship.
It'd be very tight.
Over factory Lenovo Ducati.
Factory Red Bull Ducati, actually, James, next year.
Imagine. At Maximilian_Rubin. We are watching Pecco's downfall as we speak right now. He won't be the same ever again.
God.
These people are yelling. Do you want to read that again?
Screaming.
You didn't hear what I just said, sorry. Did you? At Maximilian_Rubin. We are watching Pecco's downfall as we speak right now. He won't be the same ever again. That's harsh.
Have
call.
We had anyone like this who's come back from the absolute depths of destruction?
Yeah, Mark Marquez.
Take injuries out of it and take bike out of it because Pecco Bagnaia's teammate is dominating.
No. Mm. No, we've never seen a downfall like it. I've never seen a downfall like it, no. And never seen anyone come back from the depths of despair like this. But no one's dropped off like this either.
I know. It's
without
it's,
an injury.
And as we said at the start of the podcast, it is just
or a bad bike.
It's unprecedented, this issue with bags.
Yeah, really. No one can put their finger on it. I'd love to be able to say that I can or we can, but we definitely can't. That's all our hot takes, big dog.
Well, all right. Let's get on the piss and let's get out, eh?
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone. It, and just if you're driving home from the island and you met us through the weekend, we just want to say a massive thanks because we had an awesome weekend and it was all thanks to you guys.
Yeah, so. Really appreciate all listeners. It does mean everything to us. Yep. We really, really do appreciate you guys are the best people.
The best of the best. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate
it. See you later.